Dear parishioners and friends, the word decade is a big word. We tend to measure our lives in segments that are much less than decades. We celebrate yearly anniversaries and birthdays, quarterly seasons, feast and fast periods in the church, and daily accomplishments. Yet the biggest birthdays and anniversaries are the ones that have a zero behind the first number. And so 10 years doing something somehow holds more weight than 9 years or 11 years of doing it. By God's grace, this week I passed 10 years of service as the priest of our parish. I remember my first Sunday. I joined what is probably a small club of clergymen who didn't show up for their first service. Turns out nobody showed up that Sunday, September 5th, as a hurricane was barreling down Tampa. There was even a wedding scheduled that day, and nobody showed up for that, not even the bride and groom. Are George and Zach here by any chance today? That was the first wedding, and it happened 3 weeks later than originally planned. So my first liturgy here ended up being September 8th for the Nativity of the Virgin Mary, which was a Wednesday that year. My first Sunday liturgy finally happened on September 12th. I remember that morning that both Eris Rogers and Charlie Handels were serving in the altar. I am so thankful that they are still at the right and left hands up here. Nick was the chanter, Marty directed the choir, and Jim played the organ. And I'm thankful to God that all those people who assisted me in my liturgy are still here with us. And I'm thankful to these five, especially, for all that they have done for me and for this parish in our liturgical life in the past 10 years. The most important ministry of the church is the divine liturgy. There is nothing more sacred, holy, or intimate in our lives than the personal encounter with Jesus Christ that occurs at the divine liturgy. And there is no more important moment in the life of our community than the moments we gather for the divine liturgy. Thus, I am especially thankful to those who have helped the divine liturgy in the past 10 years. I am remembering three other voices that were present on my first Sunday who have gone to their eternal rest. John Kavios, Dr. Dimitri Hachas, and Meryl Hayden. All made an impact on our parish. Each made an impact in my life. Looking back 10 years ago, I can honestly say that the beginning of my ministry brought me mixed feelings. I left a church community that I absolutely loved, that absolutely loved me. In other words, a good match. And I came to a world of unknowns. I didn't know anyone. No one knew me. And for anyone who has ever been the new kid in school, the new family in the neighborhood, or the new man at work, you know that this is not something that makes us leap for joy. There were so many names to learn and things to do. I remember feeling intimidated about not knowing any names at communion. I remember going into the office and not knowing where anything was kept or how anything worked. Who made the crow's world? Mary Ninos. Who is Mary Ninos? Who cleans the church? Angie Hachas. Who is that? And so on. Thankfully, both of these women, Mary and Angie, are still here doing what they were doing 10 years ago. I hope and pray you're both here 10 years from now, doing the same beautiful things you do today. In the 10 years I have been here, I have made innumerable missteps. I spoke a few weeks ago about forgiveness, and I mentioned that if we didn't have the concept of forgiveness, there would be no hope for any of us. Because any human relationship, from working relationships, to friendships, to marriage, to parenting, is going to be marked by missteps. And if we keep count of the missteps, especially for our 10 years, it will be impossible for any relationship to survive. The only way our relationships survive is if we forgive one another. I know that I have been far from the perfect husband, the perfect father, the perfect friend, the perfect co-worker, and the perfect priest. Sometimes I have tried and I have failed. Sometimes I didn't try at all. And sometimes the human side of me led me to try to fail, to be less than what our Lord calls us to be as Christians, what He has called me to be as a priest. So as I reflect on the 10 years that have passed, I pause a moment to reflect on the times when I did less than what I could have or should have done, and I humbly ask for forgiveness. No one is perfect. Only God alone is perfect. Over the past decade, I have had innumerable joys. 10 times we have made the journey of Lent and Holy Week together and have proclaimed that Christ is risen on Pascha. 10 times we have decorated the church for Christmas and gathered on Christmas night to proclaim the birth of Christ once again. The tray of flowers for Holy Cross Day has gotten heavier with each passing year. That's not just because I've gotten older. It's because there are more people in attendance. The weddings, the baptisms, the chrismations, the lighter moments, the laughs, the inside jokes, the joy. Playing the drums at the festival, thank you to John Meeks. Summer camp, the boy retreats, the lock-ins. These have brought great joy to my life and ministry. I've actually slept for nearly a month of these past 10 years in my office, because of the many lock-ins we've had in Boyd. Last night we had another one. 30 Boyds that advised us to spend the night here, and I got my usual 2.5 hours of sleep on the recliner in my office. And while I feel exhausted, I feel overjoyed at these beautiful opportunities to spread the message of the gospel in ways that are fun and also meaningful. I feel especially glad to have shared this event last night with my now co-worker, our pastoral assistant Charlie, of whom I could not be more proud of. Charlie is doing a great job making sure our team is a winning team, and I pray that we will work side by side for years to come. There have been innumerable moments of inspiration in the past 10 years. I am inspired first and foremost by everyone whom I have met at this church for the sacrament of confession. After the liturgy, the most joyful moments of my ministry are spent on the solea of the church in front of the icon of Christ, watching people grow in their faith, listening to them articulate their beliefs, and witnessing them taking away healing, direction, and new beginnings. I'm so thankful that when this church was designed, they put a beautiful stained glass window right over the door up there, because that is the place I look at in the church that brings me the most joy. When I'm praying for you after confession, as you are kneeling, my eyes go to that window. I'm thankful that I have had thousands of opportunities to pray and to look at it over the years. I'm inspired by all those who have overcome adversity in the past 10 years. There have been so many tears shed here during times of sadness and frustration, innumerable encounters in my office, in homes, in hospitals, in funerals, times when people didn't think they had the strength to go on, and yet they did. Many of you have overcome illness, strife, stress, and life challenges. You grieve the loss of loved ones, and still found hope. A few of you have lost children. Your ability to overcome what I think is the greatest of life's challenges inspires me more than you will ever know. I've also been inspired by those who have given so generously of themselves to the church. whether it is a sacrifice of time, or talent, or financial resources. I can't count how many times the call has gone out for some kind of help here, and someone has always answered the call. And someone comes to me and says, I'll do it. I can't tell you how inspiring and motivating that is. And many of you, too many, thank by name, have given incalculable numbers of hours to further the work of this parish, and for this I am inspired and profoundly grateful. By God's grace and with your help, we've achieved a lot of things in the past 10 years. Some involve quantity. The number of people who attend church each Sunday is awesome, even during the summer. The number of people who come to weekday services has steadily increased. We'll have well over 150 kids in Sunday school this year, nearly 40 in Boya, over 40 in the altar, and this year with a new crop of altar boys, most of the new guys coming in are people that I baptized 9 or 10 years ago. These are positive signs of a very healthy parish, the participation of our youth. In the past 10 years, we've added a youth choir, a welcoming commission, community outreach program to feed the hungry, a young and heart ministry for our seniors, a bookstore, we revived the oratorical festival, started a young adult group, opened the food pantry, and now have 6 small group Bible studies. We've increased our stewardship and our membership. 10 years ago, we had 220 families. Now it's about 350. 10 years ago, our stewardship monetary contributions were $120,000 a year. This year will exceed $400,000. My first month at St. John, we had a half-time secretary. Now we've got a full-time administrator, a bookkeeper, and a pastoral assistant to man the office. When I first got here, our office was in 2 small rooms in the Kahula Center. We've upsized that too. More important than quantity, though, is quality. In the past 10 years, there have been an increasing number of people who go to confession, who go to Bible study, who are going to community outreach events, and an increasing number of people who are talking about our faith, who are better understanding the faith, and who are living the faith. This is awesome. Nothing here could have been achieved without 2 critical things. First, the blessings of God. That is why we offer the Archiplasia today. Thank God for his many blessings on us. And secondly, nothing could have been achieved without the help of many people. This morning, after church, we have our annual ministry fair, where you have the opportunity to not only learn about the many ministries in our church, but to sign up and participate in them. Those ministries make the church what it is. On the back of the bulletin of the messenger, we list our ministries and the ministry heads. Over the years, many of those names have changed, but I'm thankful to everyone who has served as a ministry head or has contributed to any of our ministries. I'm thankful to everyone who has played a role, however large or small, in the life of this community. And I'm thankful to everyone who has made a positive impact, large or small, on my life and in the life of my family. I'm thankful to everyone who prays for us, who worships here, everyone who has showed unexpected kindnesses. I'm thankful to all of you. I thank God and I thank you. In the past 10 years, life has changed. There was no Facebook when I got here. No Twitter, no Instagram, or Snapchat, or any of those other things, but I don't know what they are. Most churches didn't have a website, and we didn't email the messenger. And we weren't obsessed with text messaging. I remember one night after a parish council meeting, Chris Kaplan was showing me his phone and said to me, Father, you've got to get one of these. You can get on the internet and send emails and all kinds of neat stuff. And I thought, who needs that? I'm happy with my simple phone. Well, Chris was right. I needed to get one of those. Wherever we'd be without our smartphones these days. My personal life has also changed. 10 years ago, we didn't have a son. Now he's almost 8. The clock of our marriage was at 9 years. Now it is at 19. And I want to pause and thank Lisa Sweet for supporting me in our ministry here. I know that life is not easy all the time away from our families and being away from our family. Thank you for supporting our ministry. I was a young 32, now I am not so young 42. I had nearly a full head of hair, and now I've got a lot of sunscreen on when I go to the beach. Hopefully my experience has made me a better priest and a more effective pastor. Despite all the changes that have happened in our world, there is one thing that has stayed the same. The gospel of Jesus Christ. Despite our efforts to dumb down the message and to normalize things that the Bible and our society have always viewed as immoral, the truth of the message remains the same, as does the mission of the church, which is to spread that gospel. The gospel doesn't promise easy living in this life, but it promises eternal life when life on this earth is over. The gospel doesn't tell us to force our beliefs on other people, but it also tells us not to put the light of Christ under a shade, but to put it on a stand so it can give light to people. The basic lesson of the gospel is this morning's gospel reading. That God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, so whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The reference to Moses in the gospel lesson relates to an occurrence in the Old Testament book of Numbers, where venomous snakes were attacking the Israelites who were wandering in the desert. The Israelites were complaining about the long journey. There were lots of complaints about their food being bad. A lot of woe is me. It still finds its way into the world and into our lives today. And as the Israelites were crying out in their miserable and now very dangerous situation, God told Moses to take a bronze snake around the staff and show it to the people, and those who looked upon it were saved. As a side comment, you see on many ambulances and many medical advertisements the staff of the snake around. I didn't realize until Charlie pointed out to me on Friday that this sign is from the Bible, from today's gospel lesson. Back to the story, God provided the means for salvation from the snakes. However, the people had to do something. They had to look at the staff. They had to work in tandem with the Lord. He provided the means, but they had a part to play. When Jesus was lifted up on the cross, the way the serpent was lifted up on the staff, and when we look upon Christ and internalize the sacrifice for us, we too can be saved from the snakes of this life, so we inherit eternal life. Again, God has provided the means for our salvation. We don't have to go out and find the means or create the means. God has created that for us in His supreme sacrifice of His Son. There is work for us to do in tandem with this. We have to look upon Christ to internalize what His sacrifice means for us and to live as He has asked us to live, with the joy of the cross in front of us, making our own sacrifices for God and preparing to be resurrected in Christ at the end of our earthly lives. I told the boys early this morning in church about 1 o'clock what a great opportunity we have each Sunday when we celebrate the Divine Liturgy. Yes, we all agree, even me, that the liturgy can at times seem boring and tedious. Not every celebration of the liturgy this past 10 years has inspired me. There were plenty of them where I just showed up and gave a less than stellar effort, or took away less than profound inspiration. There have been times the liturgy has moved me to tears, where I have truly felt the presence of God on me here in this church. And so I guess it's okay that some of those liturgies were not memorable, but the contrast helps set aside many that truly were. The most profound thing we can do in our lives is come to church on Sunday morning to touch Christ and allow Christ to touch us in a physical and tangible way. You can pray outside church, and I hope you do. You can have fellowship with your friends outside of church, and I hope that you do. But the one thing we can do only here is commune with Christ in this most profound and special way. And to think that Christ, in His great love for mankind, accepts me and all my stupidness, He accepts me through His love and mercy and allows me to stand before Him, to hold Him, to receive Him, This is truly something for which I and me ought to be so grateful. I didn't have the best of days yesterday. It was the proverbial, whatever could go wrong, went wrong. And when I was speaking in church this morning to our boys, I felt foolish. How bad the day and yesterday have been when I wasn't even 24 hours away from touching Christ. And how bad can today be when I have just touched Him and He has just touched me? How bad can this week possibly be when I have liturgy tomorrow and the gift of doing this all over again next Sunday? I wrote in the messenger about setting some goals for this next decade. Yes, there is work to do on our infrastructure. There is a festival looming around the corner. We need to increase our stewardship, giving and retire in significant debt. There is a dream of getting a second priest, and perhaps we need to start the conversation about a bigger building so we can all fit in it more comfortably. But the number one goal of the community and everyone in it should be the same, a closer relationship with Christ. Because when we see Christ first, the other things all fall into line. When we go through life without Christ, it's like building a structure without a foundation. It quickly comes down. I'll never forget the conversation I had with my dad shortly before he died, which I have spoken about many times. When I asked my dad if he believed in God, he said yes. When I asked what he believed about God, he said he didn't know. And so the first challenge of my second decade that I'm giving to you is to make sure that you not only believe in God, but that you know what you believe. So that as we pray in the liturgy, that you have confidence and without fear of condemnation, you dare to call upon our Heavenly God, our Father, and to say, give us today our daily bread, provide the means for us to get through today, so that days become months, and months become years, and years become a decade, where we look back and feel progress, not just in our earthly journey, but in our spiritual journey as well. Every time we come into church, we begin our experience of worship by lighting a candle. The candle represents Christ. The light of Christ we light to each person who comes into the world. We are told in John 1 that the darkness can never overtake the light. And so Jesus tells us in Matthew 5 that we have to let our light shine in the world. The first thing God created was light. So light also represents beginnings. That's why on Pascha, the focal point is light, specifically lighting our candles, so that we may begin anew in the light of the resurrected Christ. Each time we enter the church and light a candle, we have the opportunity for a new beginning. So we don't need to wait for Pascha or a milestone of a new decade to have a new beginning. A new beginning is possible at any time. Today, however, is a milestone in my life and in the life of our community. It's a day to look back and be thankful. It is a day to look ahead and be hopeful. And that's why I'll start the second decade of my ministry by reminding you about the light. So that light of Christ is often the difference between joy and despair, between seeing the bad in something and seeing the good in it. It is the light of Christ that inspires courage when we are afraid. And it is Christ that makes the difference, not only in this life, but in everlasting life. In the past year and a half, there was one verse from which I had taken much inspiration and direction. And I close with this verse from Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm thankful to Christ who has brought me safely through 10 years of service in St. John. I'm praying for His guidance, His wisdom, and His protection to guide me through the next 10. I'm thankful to you for sharing 10 mostly wonderful years. I pray that we will share many, many more.